At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Most of us, myself included, are never taught a thing about money. We're told, go to school, get a degree, get a job, and all you figure it out. And then what happens for the majority of people is you end up broke, you end up struggling financially, and you can never figure out why.
So I say the key to building wealth is not how much you can work. You can't work your way to wealth. You got to invest your way there. And all wealthy people, black, white, Asian, Chinese, they own a whole bunch of shit. The people who aren't wealthy is because they don't own nothing. You only have your money sitting in cash. If your money is just sitting in cash, realistically, you're becoming poorer every day.
And this is where the rich will become richer, the poor will become poorer, and the middle class will get wiped out.
Wealthy people, first they get into stocks, then they start a business, and then they get real estate.
Your savings are becoming less valuable each and every day. Well, what wealthy people do is they're not storing cash. They're buying assets.
Owning a stock is owning a percentage of a great business.
The majority of people who have no idea what's happening will continue to become poorer because they don't even see it happening.
Some people actually fear success. Success comes with a lot, right? But until you can overcome that average reality that you live in, no matter what you're on, once you become comfortable there, it becomes average. Anyone can live in average. Everyone can live in mediocrity, right? Then there's those outliers who consistently push themselves to go to the next level. Knowledge is what gives us leverage in life. It's not about how strong you are. It's about what you can learn. And then how can you actively apply that?
As you start to go down deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole, you start to realize, oh my God, everything that I've been told is a lie.
Explain that basic idea of ownership for people that might not quite put it together that stocks really are owning that company.
Mm-hmm. So I actually got that term from Warren Buffett in one of his meetings. I want to say it was the 1995 shareholder meeting. And he said that owning a stock is owning a percentage of a great business. And so once I understood that concept, I understood that the key to wealth is through ownership. I took my time, I researched the Warren Buffetts and the Peter Lynch's, and I'm not gonna lie, in the beginning, that shit was like Chinese to me, right? This is a foreign language. And so what happened to me was it started reminding me of being in the streets. Everything about it. And I heard this term one time that said, the real gangsters are on Wall Street. The real gangsters are in the government. And I was like, damn.
Or really getting into it, like, all right, yo, this makes sense. Like, damn, I see why they don't teach us this. This shit powerful. Like, 70% of everything that we use and consume with our money is on the stock market. Mm-hmm. Like, everything. So I'm like, damn, like, all right, cool. All right, it makes sense to me now. Like, even the brands that we wear, Louis Vuitton, LVMH, third richest man in the world. Louis Vuitton owns Louis Vuitton. They own Dior. Mm-hmm. They own
Hennessy,
Moet.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like, let's own it. And oftentimes, the stock is cheaper than the product.
So if I know that waste management is a company that's going to be here forever because we aren't going to stop throwing things away, why don't I own that company? Because I know everybody throws things away. And so now, instead of me getting excited about Apple Lime being around the corner because it's a new phone, I'm like, yo, y'all about to make me some money, right? So when I hear a company like Waste Management has bought 40 acres of disposable land for another landfill, I'm excited about that. And another great thing about the stock market is, for me, it now makes me pay attention to the world. And so now I understand what's going on in the world. I started learning business cycles, market cycles. You know what I'm saying? Like, because now I can understand, yo, this is okay. Things are going out of business. This is, okay, we're in this cycle. Okay, people are hiring. Okay, we're in expansion cycle. And so now I took an economic class on my own without just understanding the world. And so you start understanding when something is happening in China. Okay, something happening in China. So I own Apple. Apple has 20% of their revenue in China. Okay, they might take a little hit right now. You know what I'm saying? So the stock market helped me start understanding how the world moves, the fundamentals.
Right?
And so that's important. In prison, we fight for like 4 hours.
Jesus.
Back to back. I'm just fighting one after another one. Like, we just fighting. And I go to solitary confinement. And at this time, Orleans Parish Prison is considered like one of...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The worst parish prisons in the United States of America, right? And I go to the cell and I meet this white guy. That was the turning point of my life. I get in the cell with him and I'm frustrated, like I'm kind of bust up. And he sees me and I guess he's in awe of the idea of so many black people are in this position. He says something to me, he says, man, y'all playing the wrong game. And so in my mind, like I'm frustrated, I'm like, man, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, bro, like, don't make me whoop your ass in here right now. Like, and he's like, no. He's like, listen, bro, I don't mean no harm, no disrespect. But y'all, like, why? So I guess he's, like, perplexed by this whole dynamic of all of these black men in here. And I'm like, man, what are you talking about, man? Like, this ain't no game. Like, it's real. And so he says something. He said, that's the problem. Y'all don't even know it's a game. And so when he told me that, I'm like it's something about when you mad and you in the moment, but like something, when it makes sense, it hits you like a ton of bricks. So I'm like, what? He was like, man, listen, man, there's a game that's being played and you're playing a game that you can't win. For a minute, I just start thinking about the people who I knew that was in the streets. Everybody lost. Everybody suffered the same fate. There was nobody in the street that I knew at 16 that won. Everybody I knew had either been to prison, been shot, got killed, their father, like everybody suffered the same fate. So my rebuttal to him is this: well, if it's such of a game and you know the rules, why are you here with me?
It's a good question.
Right? He says, I'm in here, $2.8 million embezzlement. I paid $800,000 restitution. I kept $2 million. Have you ever seen $2 million? I'm like, man, get the fuck out of here. You fucking lying. So one thing about prison and in jail, you can show your paperwork. Like, you can lie all you want, but your paperwork tells me. So I said, let me see your paperwork then. So in New Orleans, I had a red band. So a red band means attempt murder, armed robbery, kidnapping, carjacking, violent offense. He has on a red and white band at the time. The red and white band means you're in federal custody. And it's crazy because in prison or in jail, like, if you get a federal band, it's like a hierarchy. It's like, you know something that we don't know, you next level, right? So he showed me his paperwork and it's right there in black and white. And immediately he got my attention. Because the red and white band makes me respect you a different level at 16, but then when I see it in your paperwork, I had never seen $2.8 million written down nowhere.
Right?
So that changes my...
And this is where the rich will become richer, the poor will become poorer, and the middle class will get wiped out. Most of us, myself included, are never taught a thing about money. We're told, go to school, get a degree, get a job, and all you figure it out. And then what happens for the majority of people is you end up broke, you end up struggling financially, and you can never figure out why. Rich people will understand money and they will continue teaching their kids. And everybody else, the majority of people who have no idea what's happening will continue to become poorer because they don't even see it happen. High school, I went through college, I went through 1 year of grad school, and then I went through law school, and I never once learned a thing about money. When more money gets produced, it effectively reduces the value of each individual dollar. But this is where rich get rich and the poor get poorer, because as the value of the dollars drop, what happens? For regular people, your salary doesn't stretch as far. Your savings don't buy you as much. And so you're effectively becoming poorer each and every day, because for most of us, we're taught to save our money. And your savings are becoming less valuable each and every day. While what wealthy people do is they're not storing cash, they're buying assets.
And you know, it's all a game. And this is what wealthy people understand. It's all a game. Anything is possible. If you live in America, you speak English, you have more opportunities than really anybody else in the world. People will literally risk their lives to come to this country because there's opportunity here.
So my parents came to this country with next to nothing. So I got nothing to lose and everything to gain, right? And so this is the place where that opportunity exists. But now you have to be willing to work hard, but you also have to be willing to work smart. You have to do both. Because if you're not willing to work hard, your smart working is effectively worthless. You have to be willing to apply both together. And I had none of this, you know, financial education. Your salary, hey, you got a raise, but you're actually broker now than you were before the raise because your raise isn't keeping up with inflation.
As you start to go down deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole, you start to realize, oh my God, everything that I've been told is a lie. As I was studying, I started reading other business books and financial books. And I remember this, I was in the library studying and I went on to Google and I searched the richest people in America. And you see people like Steve Jobs, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg. And I was like, none of these people are doctors.
Mm-hmm.
None of these people went down that traditional route of, you know, getting a degree, doing a good job. Am I missing something? Because I thought that if you go to school, get a good degree, you can make a lot of money. And if you work harder in school, get better grades, you'll make even more money. So I thought it was just directly correlated. Your grades, your income. And that's when I started questioning things. And I realized, oh, maybe this isn't right. And so that kind of pushed me into this whole painful, emotional journey of learning about money, learning about entrepreneurship, learning about what does it mean to become wealthy and how do you actually do it? So that was kind of the initial phase for me, and then I had to go out and actually start learning.
The government can't just spend money without somebody paying for it. They have to generate the tax dollars. If they don't pay it through tax dollars, somebody's still going to have to pay a tax. And inflation now is a hidden tax. It's a silent tax. It affects the people who don't understand money, and it disproportionately affects the poor and the financially uneducated. And this is why financial education is so important, is because if you don't understand this, you are going to get screwed over by the system. Because now, guess what? Your gas is going to be more expensive. Your groceries are going to be more expensive. Your home cost is going to be more expensive. The cost to do anything is going to cost you so much more today, next year, the year after that. Well, your salary, hey, you got a raise, but you're actually broker now than you were before the raise because your raise isn't keeping up with inflation. And so that's where you have to be willing to go out of your way to learn how some of these things work. Because if you don't, you're just going to be a pawn in the system. And it's very unfortunate. It sucks. And, you know, this is where I'm trying to help provide that education, because these are things I never grew up learning. These are things that I wish somebody would have told me. 7 out of 10 Americans across the board are living paycheck to paycheck. 50% of Americans that are making $250,000 a year are living paycheck to paycheck.
That's crazy.
It's not how much money you make. It's what you do with the money you make that is so important. And so now, if you have a buffer, you're already better than the majority of people. Now, the question is, what do you do with it? Well, we're taught, save it. Save all of it. So your investments are zero and your savings are trying to grow, that thinking that you're going to become wealthy. But you're never going to be able to outsave inflation. Your savings are literally making you poorer each and every day. However, you don't want to just not save any money. You got to be strategic with it. What I like to say is there are three reasons why you should be saving money. You save money for an emergency, have somewhere between 3 to 12 months worth of expenses, depending on your risk tolerance. Save money for a big purchase. You want to buy a car, you want to buy a house, you need some cash to do that. Save money for an investment. If you're not saving money for one of these three reasons, you are saving your money the wrong way and it's making you poorer each and every day.
Now, you didn't say save for retirement.
Yeah, invest for retirement.
I realized how powerful it was for me to, one, become economically, like, powerful in my mind. Because the thing about investing, especially in stocks, is that piece of ownership of everything that I use now makes me say, well, if I own that Apple, God, I don't care about buying an Apple phone. Right. If I'm gonna wear Levi's and I'm gonna wear Timberlands, if I can own VFC Corp, then I own the stuff that I'm buying. I'm okay with that. Like, that subtle shift in my mindset changed everything for me. because now I was after just owning everything that I consumed. In the beginning, that was my introduction to the game. Let me just own everything I consume and then I'll feel okay. And then one dope thing happened to me. In 2010, this is after I'm home from prison now, right? I'm home from prison. I'm back in the streets hustling. Because even though I have the information, I don't have the money, right? And I'm like, well, shit, I gotta get the money. My door gets kicked in 2010. They get 8 pounds of weed, $10,000. Yeah, by the cops. Eight pounds of weed, $10,000, a 223, a 40 with extended clip and a beam, and 100 X pills. So the cop tells me, you ain't learned your lesson. You ain't learned your lesson. And I was like, damn, that was some dumb shit, right? Like, I got knowledge, I got information, but I still fell victim to the same shit that everybody around me knew. So therefore, the knowledge that I had wasn't powerful because it wasn't applied. So I was fortunate, God bless me. I wound up getting found not guilty because it's called fruit of a poisonous tree. So they kicked in my door, but they didn't have probable cause because they stopped me in my truck, didn't find nothing on me. So they went to my house, kicked the door in with no search warrant. So now everything you find is null and void. That's purpose, man, because that's not supposed to happen, right? I'm thinking for that all the time. And then, but that put me in a situation because now, even though it cost me $60,000 to beat that charge, I don't have no money. So now I get into the robbing game. So now I start robbing dope dealers, right? Because an OG told me that a person who works a job every day, they not a part of this game. So they not fair game. You don't mess with them. But somebody who sells a nickel bag, he fair game. A shark don't care if it's a tuna or whatever. If you in the ocean swimming, you fair game. And so I started robbing dope dealers at the time because I was like, yo, if you won't, you can't call the police. If you won't see me, see me. I'm with it. And I got in a situation where I was good at it. Me and my partner, God bless his soul. And then one day I almost got killed. And I go to my partner and I say, bro, I'm out. Like, it's a done deal. But when they kicked my door in, something happened. So they took my truck, they took my money, but they didn't mess with my stock account. It didn't freeze, it didn't. I said, hold up. They don't think I'm smart enough for this. Mm. In the book, 48 Laws of Power, it says, never underestimate your opponent. And at that point, I realized that America underestimates us. And it's from a class issue because we've never said we're capable of doing this. It's a game we just didn't play. So I say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? All I know how to do is be a hustler. And the voice from 1999 comes in my head and says, you're just playing the wrong game.
Like, all right, cool. So I went to tell him my homies, like, yo, check this out. Instead of us just blowing the money, we're going to wear the Fendi anyway. We're going to wear it anyway. Let's just own that shit too. Like, let's play the game both ways. So my homies really wasn't getting it. So I had to say, all right, yo, like, the education, the knowledge is the fertilizer to your wealth, right? So as the education and as the knowledge changes, so does the compensation change. Because now I can have conversations about different things. So I really just locked in on it. And I started teaching my homies. And I was like, all right, look, how do I make it realistic to them? How do I make them tap into it? Mm-hmm. So the second thing was like, yo, check this out. None of us can beat the game. Everybody I knew had the same problem. Nobody had a solution. How do I now stop looking like the problem and start representing a solution, right? So I can't talk to everybody, but I can talk to street dudes. Like, I can talk to them. So I'm like, yo, check this out. If you go do a bid, which is going to happen, what do you come home to? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get back in the streets. You got to get it out the mud again. So if you had money invested for you, when you come home, you got money. You don't got to ask nobody for no handout. What if you go do a bid and what you've made the sacrifices, you've took the chances, what do your family have? Like, so let's start thinking bigger picture now. What happens if you get killed in the street? Because most of us either go to jail or we get killed. What do you leave your kids? Like, let's start making it make sense. So the goal for me was to never tell you get out the streets. It was to start saying, yo, let's start thinking about our family now. Like, let's start thinking about something bigger than us. And nobody never came to us like that. So that was my whole avenue. And so the Wall Street Trapper was me just saying, let me turn the trapper word into something positive instead of always being about dope, instead of always being about hustling. And I knew my voice for who I was talking to. I never wanted to talk to nobody else.
For me, the understanding the basics and the fundamentals. Like, once you start understanding the fundamentals, you give yourself power. Because you now understand, like you said, you see how the machine works, right? And so most people look at the machine and marvel and say either, like most people look at the stock market, most 98% of the people who I know look at the stock market and say, yo, that's not a game I can play. I'm staying away from it. And so the way it's set up is, the world is set up, well, listen, cool, I don't even want you to play. Just give me your money, I'll play it for you. Right. So when we look at like banks, like we understand that banks don't necessarily work in our favor, right? So banks only give us 0.05% interest on the money we have there. Well, we can get 8% just by putting our money in the index fund. So why would I just sit my money in a bank and let the bank make all the money? Because all they're going to do is invest the money for you. So they're now operating as the plug. They operate now as the man who, I'm going to front you this. I'm going to make my money. I'm going to take the cut. I'm going to give you just enough to keep coming back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the plug. Who is the plug? The stock market, right? And so once I understood the fundamentals of like, the most important thing too is we don't understand how money works.
Best return that I got on my investment isn't the real estate investments that I made, even though those have made me great returns. It's not the stock market investments that I made, even though they made me great returns. It's not the startup investments that I made. It's the investments that I made in myself. Because for me, the investments that I put into my own financial education have paid off many, 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 many times over. And you can't see those returns anywhere else. You know, they say that the best investment you can make is in you. And for me, that was first by reading books. When I started my financial education journey, YouTube didn't have this level of financial education out there, or just general business education or whatever. So I started by reading books. Now you don't even have to pay the price to get a book. Just go watch as many YouTube videos as possible about financial education, starting a business, about increasing your income, about investing, anything related to financial education. Go start watching YouTube videos. You don't have to watch my channel. If you don't like it, watch whoever you want. I'd rather see you successful than anything else. So go watch as many videos as you can. You have a ton of videos as well. Once you start watching videos and you absorb yourself into this, now you might want something a little bit deeper, something a little bit more comprehensive. And this is where then start reading books. I would recommend that you go out and start reading. Start by reading 25 books in financial education and read them. Find the top 5 books in money management and investing, the top 5 books in starting a business, the top 5 books in scaling a business, the top 5 books in managing a business, and the top 5 books of entrepreneur biographies. And it doesn't matter which ones you pick, find the ones with the highest ratings, the highest reviews, and just read them. This is going to cost you less than $500. But when you do that, you're going to be able to get an MBA level education without paying the price of an MBA. And you're going to look at the world, your money, and the way you use your money completely differently once you finish these books. Now, once you do that, you can decide, what do you want to do? Do you want to go down the entrepreneurial journey, take the risk and do that? Or do you want to do it through your job? Either one is fine. For me, it was entrepreneurship because that's something I love. I love that risk. I love the whole journey with that. And I don't mind working hard and doing that. If that's not for you, fine. So for me, that's what it was. It was investing in myself. Now, for the people that don't want to be an entrepreneur, it's completely okay not being an entrepreneur. I want to put that out there first because I know kind of the internet makes it seem like everybody has to be an entrepreneur. It doesn't work like that. Not everybody is meant to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody should be an entrepreneur. But if you're not an entrepreneur now, what you want to be doing, and everybody should be doing this, is create a system where now every time you get paid, a piece of your money is going to be invested. And if you do the math, you'll see why this is so important. If you start at 21 and you invest $4 a day, and you do this from the age of 21 until 66, and you just invest this money into the S&P 500, which is the general stock market, and you get an average historical return of 10% a year, This doesn't mean your money grows by 10% every year. It means this is the average. Some years it's going to be more, some years it's going to be less, some years you might lose money, some years you'll make way more. Well, over the course of your career, that $4 a day investment is going to grow to more than $1 million investment portfolio, starting with just $4 a day. If you go about life and you say, the government's the reason why I'm broke, my greedy corporation is the reason why I'm stuck at a job that I hate, I can't change my life because of X, Y, and Z, you keep pointing your fingers as to why you can't succeed, well, it's going to be impossible for you to succeed. Likewise, if you go around saying, I can't have that nice thing because I'm broke, I can't have the nice thing because I grew up in a bad environment, I can never become successful because of the way I look, I can never do it because of whatever, I can guarantee you are never going to become successful. But if we turn this around and you say, how can I become successful? How can I make more money? How can I become wealthy? How can I get out of the situation that I'm in? Now your brain looks at problems completely differently, because of now you're not complaining about the problem, but you're trying to find a solution to the problem. And that's the biggest difference between somebody who becomes wealthy and somebody who does not. It starts with the mindset, because then once you change the mindset, you're going to start changing your actions. Now you're going to find out, oh, I don't need to spend money at Gucci. Oh, I don't need to go out and eat every single day. Oh, I can save money here. Oh, I can ask for a raise at my job. Oh, maybe I can start a side hustle. Oh, maybe I can start my own business. Oh, you mean I could actually potentially take my income from $40,000 a year to $400,000 a year? That's possible? Because when most people hear that, you think it's impossible. Somebody like me could never go from $40,000 to $400,000 a year. But until you believe it's possible, you're never going to put in the action to actually make it possible. How is it that some people can become so incredibly wealthy while the majority of people don't? It's not that they have some special superpower. It's not that they own some special skill. It's not that they're so much smarter than people. It's not that they work so much harder. It's that they believe that they can, and then they use their time differently. Now the question is, how can you make your hard work the most scalable? Because that's now what will take you from, okay, I don't want to be broke. So now you start working hard, which is great. I 100% recommend working hard, because without that hard work, it's going to be impossible for you to see any real level of success. But now you're working hard. The next question is, how can you make your hard work the most rewarding?
Like, once you start understanding the fundamentals, you give yourself power, because you now understand, like you said, you see how the machine works, right? And so most people look at the machine and marvel and say, either, like most people look at the stock market, most 98% of the people who I know look at the stock market and say, yo, that's not a game I can play. I'm staying away from it. And so the way it's set up is, the world is set up, well, listen, cool, I don't even want you to play. Just give me your money, I'll play it for you. So when we look at like banks, like we understand that banks don't necessarily work in our favor. Right, so banks only give us 0.05% interest on the money we have there. Well, we can get 8% just by putting our money in an index fund. So why would I just sit my money in a bank and let the bank make all the money? Because all they're going to do is invest the money for you. So they're now operating as the plug. They operate now as the man who, I'm going to front you this. I'm going to make my money. I'm going to take the cut. I'm going to give you just enough to keep coming back. I'm going to go to the plug. Who is the plug? The stock market. The relationship with money in my community is, you make money just enough to pay bills. And so once you get tired of paying bills, you say, you know what? I need to treat myself to something, right? No matter if I got to go in debt, no matter if I got, I need to treat myself to something to take this misery away. So you treat yourself to something that you can't afford at the time, right? But it makes you feel good in the moment. And so because it makes you feel good, you say, you know what? I'm living. This is a reprieve from everyday struggle. So that's the mindset comes in and say, everybody around me had the same problem. No one represented the solution. So if I don't change something, I'm only going to end up like everybody else I know. Somebody has the solution somewhere. There's too many people out here living the life of their dreams that I'm watching. They know something I don't know. And the only thing that they had was access to a different type of information. in 2010, this after I'm home from prison now, right? I'm home from prison. I'm back in the streets hustling. Because even though I have the information, I don't have the money, right? And I'm like, well, I gotta get the money. My door gets kicked in 2010. They get 8 pounds of weed, $10,000. Yeah, by the cops. 8 pounds of weed, $10,000, a 223, a 40 with extended clip and a beam, and 100 X pills. So the cop tells me, you ain't learned your lesson. You ain't learned your lesson. And I was like, damn, that was some right? Like, I got knowledge, I got information, but I still fell victim to the same shit that everybody around me knew. So therefore, the knowledge that I had wasn't powerful because it wasn't applied. So I was fortunate, God bless me. I wound up getting found not guilty because it's called fruit of a poisonous tree. So they kicked in my door, but they didn't have probable cause because they stopped me in my truck, didn't find nothing on me. So they went to my house, kicked the door in with no search warrant. So now everything you find is null and void. So now I get into the robbing game. So now I start robbing dope dealers. And I got in a situation where I was good at it. Me and my partner, God bless his soul. And then one day I almost got killed. And I go to my partner and I say, bro, I'm out. Like, it's a done deal. But when they kicked my door in, something happened. So they took my truck. They took my money, but they didn't mess up my stock account. I said, oh, okay. Start working as an iron worker, building stadiums, building power plants. It's crazy because I was making good money. $2,000 a week, that's good money to some. Like, yo, $2,000 a week, yo, that's it. $2,000, $2,500, like, it was amazing. I started saving and investing 70% of my money. I was living bare minimum. I was like, if I'm gonna change, I gotta make, like, the hard choices. It's hard for people to make sacrifice because you got to now go against and do without some of the things that gives you that momentary gratification, that simple, that's what keeps you alive. That's what keeps you going, just to go on vacation one time a year, to get these pair of shoes that may cost me $1,000. I know I can't afford them, but I've worked so hard, I need that just to keep giving me something.
You have a phrase, Wall Street looks like us now.
Wall Street looks like us now.
There's another phrase you say, but you should like put that same like stamp on it, is I own that.
I own that.
Because you talk about stocks in a way that sounds so rad, where it's like, you refer to yourself as an owner of the companies.
Yes.
And the thing is, it actually is true. Like you're not playing a linguistic game. It is true.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't think about it like that. But it's so much more powerful than having a cool pair of kicks is to say, I own the company that makes those kicks, or I own the company that makes that phone, or, you know, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, works for me. I'm a shareholder, right?
Yeah.
It's really, really powerful. Mm-hmm. Explain that basic idea of ownership for people that might not quite put it together that stocks really are owning that company.
Mm-hmm. So I actually got that term from Warren Buffett in one of his meetings. I want to say it was a 1995 shareholder meeting. And he said that he owned great. Owning a stock is like it's owning a percentage of a great business. And so once I understood that concept, I understood that the key to wealth is through ownership. The people who aren't wealthy is because they don't own nothing. You only have your money sitting in cash. If your money is just sitting in cash, realistically, you're becoming poorer every day.
Right, or they own depreciating assets.
And that's what cash is. It's a depreciating asset because the more money they print, the more money that money loses value. Yeah. So if it's just sitting, it's the reason why the bank wants you to have your money there. So they can take it and use it and invest it so much and be like, hey, it's just sitting, I'm gonna give you 50 cents on whatever you had in there.
Right.
And so the idea of ownership was, yo, if we can just start owning everything that we, no matter if it's just a stock, like that's powerful. Because if you can start owning the businesses that you now consume every day, you turn a one-time transaction to a lifetime of profit. And that was major for me, because if I go to a store and buy a pair of Nikes, that's a one-time transaction. In order for me to get something from them again, I got to come back and buy another pair of Nikes. But if I own the Nike stock, long as I own it, it's a profitable vehicle for me. So that one-time transaction can become a lifetime of profit if I own that business. If I'm going to buy Apple, if I know I'm an Apple user, if I know I got the phone, I got the AirPods, I got the MacBook, I got the PC, I'm excited when Apple was about to drop something, why wouldn't I own it? As much of it as I can.
I would recommend that you go out and start reading. Start by reading 25 books. Find the top 25 books in financial education and read them. Find the top 5 books in money management and investing, the top 5 books in starting a business, the top 5 books in scaling a business, the top 5 books in managing a business, and the top 5 books of entrepreneur biographies. And it doesn't matter which ones you pick, find the ones with the highest ratings, the highest reviews, and just read them. This is going to cost you less than $500. But when you do that, you're going to be able to get an MBA level education without paying the price of an MBA. And you're going to look at the world, your money, and the way you use your money completely differently once you finish these books. If you go around saying, I can't have that nice thing because I'm broke. I can't have the nice thing because I grew up in a bad environment. I can never become successful because of the way I look. I can never do it because of whatever. I can guarantee you are never going to become successful. But if we turn this around and you say, how can I become successful? How can I make more money? How can I become wealthy? How can I get out of the situation that I'm in? Now your brain looks at problems completely differently because of now you're not complaining about the problem, but you're trying to find a solution to the problem. And that's the biggest difference between somebody who becomes wealthy and somebody who does not. It starts with the mindset, because then once you change the mindset, you're going to start changing your actions. Now you're going to find out, oh, I don't need to spend money at Gucci. Oh, I don't need to go out and eat every single day. Oh, I can save money here. Oh, I can ask for a raise at my job. Oh, maybe I can start a side hustle. Oh, maybe I can start my own business. Oh, you mean I could actually potentially take my income from $40,000 a year to $400,000 a year? That's possible? Because when most people hear that, you think it's impossible. Somebody like me could never go from $40,000 to $400,000 a year. But until you believe it's possible, you're never going to put in the action to actually make it possible. We're all given 24 hours in a day. So the difference between somebody who becomes successful versus somebody who does not is now what input you put in those 24 hours. If you're spending your time on Netflix, if you're spending your time playing video games, if you're spending all of your time doing things that don't add any value financially to your life, well, if you compare that to somebody who's now working, who's now learning, who's investing in the education, you're going to see two completely different outputs. Now, this is where you don't want to get into the trap of just thinking, you know what, I'm just going to work really hard. I'm going to work 20 hours a day. Because, well, you can work really hard and still be broke. Now the question is, how can you make your hard work the most scalable? Because that's now what will take you from, okay, I don't want to be broke. So now you start working hard, which is great. I 100% recommend working hard, because without that hard work, it's going to be impossible for you to see any real level of success. But now you're working hard. The next question is, how can you make your hard work the most rewarding? What can you do to make that hard work give you the biggest dividends and the highest returns? And this is where people say work smart. You know, some people say work smart, don't work hard. I think that's a bunch of crap. I think you need to work smart and work hard. They go hand in hand. Because that hard work is going to allow you to scale your smart work. But you now have to understand, okay, I want to become more financially successful. So now, how do I do that? What is the financial education? What am I working for? When I make more money, what am I going to do with this money? Where am I going to invest it? How am I earning this money? What can I do in terms of taxes to protect my wealth? What can I do with my investments to scale them? What can I do to build an asset? What can I do to build a business? What can I do to scale the assets that I do own? So now you start asking these questions. And I know this is getting very deep in some of these topics, but it all starts with that mindset of believing that it's possible for you. Because if you don't believe it's possible for you, you're right. But if you believe it's possible for you, you're also right. And whatever your belief is going to change what output you take. You got to work hard, man. I don't recommend what I do to anybody, but when I started, I had people I needed to prove wrong. I had the whole world telling me that I could never be an entrepreneur. I had everybody telling me that I was dumb,
for trying to leave the comfort of trying to be a doctor. I had the whole world telling me that I was throwing every sacrifice my parents made for me away. So I had to work because I knew I didn't want to let that be reality. And I worked 20-hour days, 7 days a week. That meant I was sleeping 4 hours a night, consistently. I mean, it's a grind, a real grind you have to go through. And, you know, everyone's different. I can't do that same 4 hours of sleep in a night now. I need more sleep. I need more rest. That's why I don't tell people what to do. But you got to be willing to put in the work that nobody else does. Because if you're not willing to do that, you're going to be outworked. And you're going to get beat. And business, it's a war, man. Everyone's out there trying to beat you. And if you're not willing to put in the work, then someone else is going to come in and they're going to beat you.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.